The following program is sponsored by Friends of Life Outreach International. Next on Life Today, international speaker and Bible teacher Joyce Meyer opens up about her personal struggle with finding her authentic and unique self.
I didn't know that I could be liked for myself or for who I was, and so I was constantly trying to be somebody else. And, you know, pretty much everybody you get around has a different expectation of you. And so if you try to meet everybody's expectations, pretty soon you lose yourself and you don't know who you are.
Hi, welcome to Life Today. I'm Sheila Walsh, and I have a real treat for you today. I have a guest who has impacted the lives of literally millions around the world. I know you've read many of her books, you've listened to her teaching, but this new book sounds to me like a word that we all need right now. The book is called Authentically, Uniquely You, Living Free from Comparison and the Need to Please. Would you please help me welcome Joyce Meyer? I'm so grateful that you're here.
Thank you, Sheila. I appreciate you having me.
Oh, this seems to me like such a timely word. Why do you think that you wrote this message at this time?
I don't know. I really feel like that people are under such pressure, especially today. We don't have a lot of authentic people in the world today. It just seems like more and more there's more phoniness, and people don't really know who they are. You know, they're trying to be this and trying to be that and comparing themselves with this and that and somebody else. And I had such problems with that when I was younger because of being abused growing up. I didn't know that I could be liked for myself or for who I was, and so I was constantly trying to be somebody else. And, you know, pretty much everybody you get around has a different expectation of you. And so if you try to meet everybody's expectations, pretty soon you lose yourself and you don't know who you are. And I really just felt like God wanted me to write a book, or I wanted to write a book on just telling people to be real.
Yeah.
To be authentic and to have the courage to be who they are and to realize that we're so unique. Every single one of us is so unique. And, you know, I tried for years to be like my husband because he's real laid back and easygoing and nothing upsets him. And then I tried to be like my pastor's wife, and she was just this little petite blonde and so sweet. And, you know, she was very submissive to her husband. And, you know, I was like a steamroller coming into a room. I tried to be like my neighbor next door, and she was Miss Arts and Crafts and grew her own tomatoes and canned and sewed. And, you know, I just wanted to cast out devils. You know, I want people to know that they need to be free to be who they are, and to also not try to be one person for your church friends,
right?
And then compromise, which I think we have so much of today.
Oh, totally.
So many people, and it frightens me that so many Christians are starting to compromise their moral values. And we have to stand firm and stand fast. And, you know, yes, by all means, we want to love everybody. Jesus loved everybody, but he still told everybody the truth.
The truth.
He
Absolutely.
Always spoke the truth. And this people-pleasing thing, I mean, it's just...
It's exhausting.
It's just a nightmare. I mean, you end up... I mean, I made myself sick on three different occasions. I mean, really, really sick. Just from trying to make sure that I did what everybody wanted me to do and that everybody would like me. And the last time I made myself sick, I made myself really sick.
Wow.
And I wrote a book not too long ago, shares a lot of those things. It's like you have to be who you are and take care of yourself and learn to... Almost everybody you talk to would say they're stressed out.
Yeah.
But a lot of it we do to ourselves, and it's this internal thing of not knowing how to just relax and be who we are.
You talk in chapter one about the importance of loving yourself.
Right.
Why is that so hard for people?
Well, first of all, I think that Christians think that that would be wrong.
Yeah, it doesn't sound godly, yeah.
To do that, mm-hmm. you know, or like, I've been teaching some messages about taking care of yourself. Mm-hmm. And I think we're taught so much as Christians to sacrifice.
Right.
That, and we should, but you still, if you don't take care of yourself, you get to the point where you have nothing to give to anybody mm-hmm. else. You're just burnt out yeah. and bitter and, you know, feel like everybody uses you. And I tried for years when I first got into a serious relationship with God. And I always say that because I was a Christian a long time before I became a serious Christian.
Yeah.
And I think that's important for people to hear.
Yeah, that is important.
I went to church. I read a chapter a day in my Bible. I said a little prayer at night before I went to bed. But I wasn't acting like a Christian.
Yeah.
You know, I wasn't really open to letting God change my life. I thought everybody else needed to change so I could be happy. And so in 1976, God touched my life and really gave me a hunger for the Word. And when I started really studying the Word, I started realizing that it wasn't everybody else that had a problem. I had problems.
Wow.
And so I started hearing a lot about loving people. And I wanted so much to be obedient to God and to love people, or say, like, maybe not to judge people. I was real judgmental and critical. And I just couldn't seem to do it. The more I tried, the more I failed. And God finally showed me. He said, you can't give away what you don't have.
Wow.
And I wasn't receiving God's love. And really, loving yourself is, you have to love yourself because of who you are in Christ, not because you do everything right,
right.
or you don't make mistakes. And so
yeah.
people think that loving themselves is wrong because they make mistakes and they do things wrong. But nobody watching today is a surprise to God. He's not surprised when we do stupid things. He knew everything that we would ever do before we ever did it. And so I had to spend a whole year really learning how to believe that God loved me. And that still is probably one of the most important messages that we can tell people.
Yeah.
The first public meeting that I did, they asked me to teach a women's group at my church. And 110 ladies showed up. And I asked God what He wanted me to teach. And He said, tell them that I love them. And I thought, oh, I don't want to go teach some little Sunday school lesson. Everybody knows you love them. And what He put in my heart is, no, if they did, they'd act a lot different than what they do.
Wow.
And so you see, if we really knew that God loved us, I mean, really knew that and believed that, you get rid of insecurity.
Right.
You get rid of fear. You don't feel the need to compare yourself with other people or to please people all the time.
Yeah.
And I just, you know, there's a scripture in 1 Peter 3, 11 that says that we should be at peace with God, with ourselves, and with our fellow man. Mm-hmm. Well, I think it has to come like that. Mm-hmm. First, you have to have peace with God.
Right.
And that comes through being authentic and genuine with God and confessing your sins and, you know, just being honest with God about how you feel and who you are. I love the Psalms because David is so mm-hmm. honest
yeah.
with God about how he feels. Yet he also recognized his sins and he repented of his sins. And so when you can have a good relationship with God, a good, authentic, honest relationship with God where you're not, you know, like sometimes I have to laugh because some people, it's like you know them this way, but when they start to pray, I mean,
I know exactly what you're going to say.
I mean, if they're praying in front of people, it's like all of a sudden, they become this whole different
the Archbishop of Canterbury shows
person.
Up.
Yeah, it's like, my gosh, you know. And but when you can be real and authentic with God and have a reverential fear of God, but also just a good, friendly, comfortable.
Yeah. I love that phrase. You use that in the book.
Relationship with God. I mean, it took me so long to get comfortable with God.
Yeah.
I always felt like I had to put on airs for Him, too, you know, be real religious and do everything just right. And you know how nice it is to come home at night after a hard day's work and put on your pajamas and get in your comfy chair. And, you know, I want to be comfortable like that with God, not in a disrespectful way, but have a comfortable friendship with Him. And so when you can be at peace with God, then you can be at peace with yourself. Yeah. I remember I had a girl on my show one day, and she said something about she finally learned how to be at peace with her thighs. And I thought,
you know. Do you have her phone number?
There's so many things, like, I mean, for a long time, I didn't like my voice.
Really?
You know, because my voice is deep. It's not like sweet and nice like most women. And here, I didn't know that God gave me my voice for the purpose He gave it to me for. And my voice is strong, and it commands attention.
It does. That's exactly right.
You know, probably if I had a real sweet, meek voice, men would have a hard time wanting to listen to me.
Yeah.
And so you have peace with God, you have peace with yourself, and then you can finally learn how to be at peace with other people. And I think, well, I'm writing a book now that'll come out in not for another year from this fall, but it's about just loving people that are hard to love. The one thing that God has called us to do is to love one another.
Yeah.
And in order to do that, we have to learn to accept people the way they are, but that doesn't mean you have to accept sin.
No. Yeah.
And I think that's a place where the church is a little mixed up today. It's like, you know, everybody wants to be gracious and they want to be loving, but you know, you got to look back at the way Paul dealt with sin in the church.
Yeah.
And he did it for the benefit of the person that was sinning but wasn't ready to change. And so you're going to get, I'll just say this, you're going to get absolutely no place in your walk with God until you learn how to love yourself.
I mean, that's a huge statement, because I think of the church, the body of Christ, we should be the most transparent people on the planet.
Yeah.
But I often think that people who are in trouble are not drawn to us because we seem so fake.
So fake and so phony. And they hear us say one thing but see us do another.
Yeah.
And you have to learn, the minute that somebody knows you're a Christian, they're watching you.
Yeah. Yeah.
And they're looking for something authentic. Mm-hmm. People in the world they're so hungry for something real. And something that they can really believe in.
Yeah.
And it's so important, the way that we behave and the way we act, you know, in public and private. I mean, when I first got on television and I began to realize that, you know, people recognized me everywhere I went. Well, you know, Dave and I no longer could afford to get out in the shopping mall and have an argument about something. I mean, you can't. If you're going to put your face on TV, you better be ready to live what you're preaching, because people are going to see it. And that's what God wants. He wants authentic people, not people that are, you know, one way with their Christian friends and then go to work and they're another way with their non-believing Christian friends.
I wrote this down, this statement in your book, because I really, once you understand the difference between who you are in Christ and who you are in yourself, you no longer struggle to try and earn or deserve what is already yours as a gift from God.
Right.
That's huge.
Yeah.
Would you unpack what you mean by that?
Yeah, okay. Let's just use righteousness as an example, okay? 2 Corinthians 5:21 says, "He that knew no sin became sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Christ." So God gives us a righteousness, His own righteousness, as a gift that's not based on us doing everything right. But first He makes us right, and then out of that, we start having a desire to do what's right. We have it backwards.
Yeah.
We try to do what's right so we can be right with God.
Wow, that's a huge distinction.
But he says he makes us right with God through our faith in Christ. So we have right relationship with God. While you were still yet in sin, God loved you and sent Jesus to die for you. You know, like John 14, 6 says, if you love me, you'll obey me. It doesn't say, if you obey me, I'll love you.
Yeah, important distinction.
He gives us all these things first, and then our relationship with him should be out of responding to, my gosh, how good God is and what he's done for me. Mm-hmm. And so I want to obey him, and I want to do what's right. And here again, and to me, it's such an important thing for people to realize, you cannot give away what you don't have.
Yeah.
So how can I behave right if I don't have righteousness in me? Mm-hmm. So God gives us the fruit of the Spirit. He makes us right. He fills us full of his love. And when I tell people to love themselves, I'm not saying be in love with yourself. I'm not in love with myself. I know full well what I am. But I do love myself, because if you don't love yourself, you're not receiving God's love.
Right.
And so the Lord told me one time, he said, you're like somebody who keeps trying to get in a chair you're already sitting in. So, I mean, I do this thing where I actually get in the chair and try real hard to get in it, and I'm already in it. And that, you know, that's like so many people are trying to earn God's love, but they already have God's love.
Wow, that's a great illustration.
And so it's like struggling, trying to get something that you already have. And if you can, by faith, know who you are in Christ, you know, we're not human doings, we're human beings. And we all... Like, we did a survey at our office one time and said, if you could ask God one question, what would you like to ask him? And you know what the number one answer was?
No, I'd love to know.
When will I know when I'm doing enough?
Oh, my gosh. Wow.
And how many people... I mean, that was my problem for so long.
Wow.
You know? I mean, I couldn't even really sit down at night and enjoy watching a movie because... I always felt like I should be working. I felt like I was worth more if I was working.
I totally get that.
You know, of course, I was raised by a father who... I mean, I remember getting in trouble for laughing and playing. And so I had a really hard time enjoying life. And then I found John 10:10 in the Amplified Bible that says, the thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy. But Jesus said, I came that you might have and enjoy your life. And I thought, I don't enjoy my life.
Yeah.
I mean, I was in ministry and I wasn't enjoying that.
I totally get that.
I'd get up on the platform and I was too concerned about what everybody thought and do I have the right message and am I saying the right thing and do I look the right way? And, you know, it's like you can't enjoy life when you're like that because you're so self-focused on yourself. So I talk a lot about knowing the difference in your who and your do.
I like that.
You know, I know who I am in Christ, and I also know that I don't do everything right. Matter of fact, I do a lot of things wrong, but I also know my heart.
Yeah.
And I don't... I mean, man, if I could, I would get up every day and do everything perfect because I love the Lord so much.
Yeah, I get that.
And that's what he wants.
Yeah.
Number one, most important commandment, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and all your strength. Mm-hmm. And so you'll get me preaching about 25 different things here.
One thing that's going to become abundantly clear is you want this book. I mean, I've read a lot of Joyce's books, but this book really touched me personally. And I'm going to tell you how you can get your own copy. But as you know, here at Life, we care very much about moms and children around the world who are struggling. And I want to ask you to help us. And when you do that, we will get this in the mail to you. So would you please watch this?
Sharing God's love is both our privilege and responsibility at Life Outreach. And those of you who make the decision to support our mission work have empowered us to put words into action.
In areas where precious children have already perished, many lives are now being saved because you chose to do something about crisis situations like contaminated water sources and a lack of food. With all that's been done this year, at Christmas time, we like to go even further by providing corrective surgeries for children with cleft palates. And there's something else that brings a smile to children's faces.
I mean, you've helped us change the lives of children all around the world. But we thought, in this season, wouldn't it be cool to do something really special? If you look at this darling little one here in Angola, he's like every other little boy or girl I've seen. He has no shoes.
This coming Christmas, we want to give children all over the world a pair of their very own shoes.
And look at this face. I mean, don't you just think it's the most beautiful thing in the world to be able not just to put shoes on her feet, but to be able to protect her from diseases, from all sorts of things if she steps on the ground. And it's just, you want to keep these big brown eyes as big and brown as possible.
Help us make this Christmas one these children will never forget by giving them a gift that protects their very lives. Help us provide Christmas shoes and smiles.
Thank you so much. Thank you for putting shoes on the feet of such a beautiful little girl. Thank you. Gosh, I remember that little one. I remember so clearly. And you might think, well, why are you talking about Christmas now? Well, we're talking about Christmas now because we want to get 150,000 pairs of shoes out to all the different places where we work before Christmas comes. So that's why we have to start early and gather everything in. You wouldn't believe that something like this, that we managed to get manufactured for $3.60, could literally save the life of a child. Because they don't wear any shoes, their feet get cut, they're in the water where there's all sorts of disease. It can literally cost a child their life. So don't you think this Christmas it would be great if instead of just looking at what we want or maybe what our kids want, we determined to look outside and we could be the hands and feet of Jesus. So for $36, what can you do with 36 bucks these days? You can send shoes to 10 children. If you can do a little bit more, $72 will send shoes for 20 children. $180 will send shoes for 50 children. And the other thing we do is Operation Shoes and Smiles. When children are born in certain countries where they have cleft lip or cleft palate, so much superstition around that, where it's looked on as they're cursed by God, they're not included in school, they're not included in life. And I've been in surgery with some of the doctors that we work with on the ground and watch the difference they make when you see a smile on a child who's never been able to smile, when you see a child being able to enjoy a meal, which they've not been able to do before. So these amazing surgeons that we've just fallen in love with, they'll do each surgery for $500. So if you were able to give $1,000, that would give two children a life-saving surgery. Or you can say, you know what, I'd rather go to shoes, and that would give 275 children a pair of shoes. I often think at Christmas we lose the whole plot, you know. We forget that it was about the greatest gift given, and we run our credit cards up and we drive ourselves nuts going around the mall. Wouldn't it be great to make this a family project this year? And maybe sit down and talk with your kids and say, well, what do you want to do? And we'll all give up a little bit. And I promise you, when you sit around your table on Christmas Day and you know that somewhere across the world there's a child that get their very first pair of shoes, that turkey is going to taste way, way better. So please, would you go to your phone? Would you call that number on the screen? Would you just make the best gift you can? And remember, for any gift at all, please request Joyce's new book, Authentically, Uniquely You. Because if you do what you can do, and I do what we can do, we can change the world one child at a time. Thank you.
Poverty is a killer, and because of it, children needlessly suffer, not only from a lack of food and clean water, but also from a lack of things we often take for granted, like a simple pair of shoes. Far too many children living in extreme poverty have never owned a new pair of shoes. And while that may seem minor in light of all their needs, walking with bare feet puts them at risk of life-threatening infections and disease that could lead to crippling consequences and even death. By responding today, you will help secure and make ready 150,000 pairs of Christmas shoes to be shipped and delivered to children around the world, just in time for the holidays. Your gift of $36 will help provide 10 pairs of shoes. A gift of $72 will help provide 20 pairs. And a gift of $180 will help provide 50 pairs of Christmas shoes for children in need. As a thank you for your gift of support, be sure to request this beautifully crafted red crystal shoe ornament, a treasure to display at each Christmas. With your gift of $100 or more, you may request this keepsake boxed set featuring four of Life's crystal Christmas shoe ornaments. Finally, please consider a gift of $1,000 or more to help provide over 275 pairs of shoes or two children with corrective cleft lip or palate surgeries, and you may request the beautiful bronze sculpture, Let the Children Come. Please call, write, or make your gift online today.
Thank you so much. I really appreciate it. If the lines are busy, keep calling and we'll get through. And Joyce, I know that's so much part of your heart too. You and your ministry are impacting the lives of millions of people overseas.
I don't even know how I knew this, but from the very, very beginning of our ministry, when I had a home Bible study in my home, I formed a group of ladies and we called them Maidens of Mercy.
Wow.
And their job was to just go help people that we knew that needed help. Mm-hmm. I really believe that I don't even know that we're doing church the way church should be done if we're just getting together once a week and just trying to build ourselves up and get our church to grow. I mean, we have to reach out to people that are hurting.
Yeah.
Jesus says over and over, we are not to forget the poor.
Yes.
And I think it's so interesting when Paul finally met with the apostles, he said the only instruction they had for him was to make sure he didn't forget the poor.
Wow.
And we have to, things like you're talking about, that's God's heart.
Yeah.
Yeah. Putting shoes on those kids and putting smiles on faces, we do that same kind of work.
Yeah,
and we should be doing it. That's what the Bible says we should be doing.
So remember, when you call, ask for Joyce's new book, Authentically, Uniquely You. It's a phenomenal book. And Joyce, thank you so much for being with us.
Thank you for having me.
Appreciate it. And we'll see you next time on Life Today.
Tomorrow on Life Today, Peter was barely surviving on the streets of Uganda at age 10 when one man changed his life forever. Life Today is made possible by the supporters of Life Outreach International. Your gift will be used exclusively for the exempt purposes of Life. The ministry features specific outreaches as examples of the programs it supports and conducts. Gifts are considered to be without restriction as to use unless explicitly stipulated by the donor. The ministry is a member of the ECFA.